You're listening to episode 32 of the Unapologetic Show with Dr. Bobby Conway, the One Minute Apologist. I'm your host, Tim Hall. Today we're going to be tackling the subject of guilt and shame. Well, Bobby, before we get to this really important topic, I'm looking forward to talking about it because I think it's extremely significant in our culture today. Let's reflect back over the last 31 episodes of the Unapologetic Show and maybe talk about some things that have been going on with One Minute Apologist and with the church and all sorts of things.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness, Tim, 31 episodes ago, we were living in Southern California. had no thought of leaving Southern California. My wife was the primary guest with me on the show, and 31 episodes later, we've moved across the country, we've started a church, Heather has been very busy in the church, and it worked out where, you know, she'll come on as a spot guest, but you've kind of assumed her role working as the host here at Unapologetic, and it's been great because maybe some on the radio don't know that you're the executive producer at One Minute Apologist. Mm-hmm. We've been working together for quite some time now. I was flying from the West Coast to the East Coast to see you. And so now we're out here doing One Minute Apologist, and we're doing radio together, and we're even starting a church together.
Yep.
So we have to deal with each other a lot, but I love working with you, truly.
And I love working with you, and it's been really exciting to be on the, you know, kind of the second half of our journey here on the Unapologetic Show. I've really enjoyed having these conversations and learning from you and just getting to kind of pick your brain a bit once or twice a week here.
Yeah, and you know what's been exciting too, Tim? I mean, in all this time, you've released your page or your site on YouTube. Tell us a little bit about your channel.
Yeah, so I started a channel called Dealing with Deconstruction, and we've just noticed this big giant wave of particularly celebrities, but there's people, you know, downstream of the celebrities that are doing the same thing, where they're looking at their Christianity that they grew up with, and they're saying, man, does this really fit with my how I live?
Yeah.
And they're starting to ask these really big questions. Recently, we just saw one of the members of DC Talk, a great 90s band, great Christian 90s band, Kevin Max, kind of walk away from the faith and say that he's, you know, deconstructing. He's now an ex-evangelical, as he would call himself. But I think one of the things that I'm focusing on is my story is similar in the sense that I was asking some of those big questions over the years, mainly due to some emotional stress, a lot of emotional stress that came along with just working at churches and being let go, and started to ask some of those deep questions. And so I've walked on some of that journey and deconstructed my faith and reconstructed the faith and found out what are the important pieces. So my channel is specifically helping to grow a community of people that are on that journey, because I think there's great answers to questions that they have, but I often think there's a miscommunication between the answers that they're getting from maybe the progressive or the atheist side of things and the traditional Christianity side of things. I just think there's some things that are missing.
So, well, I want to encourage our listeners to make sure you go and look up Tim Hole, Dealing with Deconstruction on YouTube, and even have your kids watch some of these episodes, because there's just no doubt that students are going to be witnessing a lot of deconstruction around them. And I think that your particular channel can be a great resource for students and for parents to be able to watch some of these episodes, to subscribe and check out what's going on.
Well, yeah, I really appreciate that. So we did want to talk, again, we are going to get to guilt and shame, but we did want to talk a little bit about some of just the financial needs, some of the resources that it takes to kind of carry One Minute Apologist on. So maybe you could outline some of those things and just, you know, talk about that for a second.
Yeah, I mean, so I would just want to say that if you've been listening to our program and you appreciate it, or if you're checking out One Minute Apologist, our YouTube channel and our podcast, we would love if you would consider jumping aboard our support team and just helping us do what we do. I can say that, you know, we're just so excited about equipping people with tools for apologetics, and we've given about 1,200 videos.
Yeah.
And I tell you, the ministry would not take place without the help of generous supporters. And so we have ways that you could, you know, jump aboard and be a monthly supporter,
yep.
or you could give a one-time gift or a one-time gift plus monthly support. Maybe some of you have been out of church for quite some time with COVID, and you're not really sure where church is going to go, and you know you're behind on your giving significantly, and you would love just to make a real big impact in a ministry. I would say please consider supporting One Minute Apologist, because a lot of times, and I think this is a huge need. You know, we give to the hungry, or we give to adoption, or things like that, and it's a lot easier to give to that felt need. But I think with deconstruction and all the things that are happening in our culture, to support apologetic ministries is a real important part of our giving, because we're fighting to keep Christianity orthodox. And so this is the first time even doing this radio show I've ever asked for people to really consider helping us, but it would mean a lot, and our ministry could use the help. We were fortunate to get the Paycheck Protection Program in the midst of COVID, because it was been so difficult. And that gave us about 10 weeks, but you can tell that that's going to be drying up really soon here if people don't feel led to jump aboard and help. So we're asking for help. We believe you're helping a great vision.
Yeah, definitely. Let me just talk a little bit about some of maybe the statistics. I mean, we generally grow about 1,000 subscribers a month, and each one of those subscribers is not just a click on a computer screen, but that's a person. There's somebody there behind that button that's clicking it. So our message is continuing to get out. We had a wonderful guest back in September on named Monique Dusan, and she was actually on for 2 episodes talking about Black Lives Matter and critical race theory, and we cut some of those cut some of that conversation up and put it out, and she has a short video that we did called Being Rescued from Critical Race Theory, and that video recently just went over the 25,000 mark. We did an unapologetic episode recently where we responded to Colby Martin as a progressive Christian. That video has almost 11,000 views on it. We had Adam Coleman on, who's a fellow YouTuber friend of ours, back in September, where he talked about what is wokeism? What does it mean to be woke? And that video is almost at 10,000 views. And that's just a small snippet. I mean, we have What is the Categorical Imperative video that you did several years ago that I think is close to 100,000 views at this point, if my memory serves me correct. So there, this ministry is impacting people all over the world. And so I just talked about some of the big numbers. You know, Daryl is someone that hangs out on the chat often. Merlin, I get emails from Merlin on the daily, letting us know that he's checking us out, our channel, and how we've helped him. And there's other people that comment on a regular basis that are a part of our community that are being positively affected. So yes, giving to the One Minute Apologist not only will help those numbers grow and help this ministry continue, but it will continue to impact those lives for years and years and years. I'll tell one more story and then hopefully we'll get to our, but this is just so fun for me. There's a well-known pastor named John Piper, and John Piper has 2 sons, and you interviewed one of them years ago.
Yeah, Barnabas.
Barnabas, on his, you know, doubt, on him dealing with doubt. Well, his brother, Abraham has recently walked away from the faith. He has deconstructed as well, but he has a TikTok account, and his TikTok account has gone viral, basically. Mm-hmm. And he is warring against the Christianity that he grew up with on this TikTok account. But because of that, people have started Googling the Piper name again. And our video, not with Abram, but with
Barnabas,
yeah, has, again, shot up. It's like 25,000 views just in the last 2 or 3 months because of that. So videos that we did, I think that came out in 2011, if I'm not mistaken, are coming back around. So when we do videos, they are there for a long time. Yeah. They shoot back up again, and they are having a positive effect on people's lives and people's Christianity and their journey. So thank you to you for all of your hard work over the years producing those videos. And thank you to the people that have supported us in the past. But we would invite you to go to oneminuteapologist.com. Right in the upper right-hand corner of our website, whether you're on mobile or whether you're on desktop, you can click donate. And there's a form you can go ahead, and it's pretty self-explanatory to jump on our support team.
Yeah, that's right. So we hope you do.
Yes. So let's get to our topic that we have today, because this is a fantastic topic. You, Bobby, recently finished up your second PhD. So technically you're doctor, but we only say it once. And the title of your dissertation was Christian Theism and the Problem of Guilt. And so you spent several pages in this dissertation, which I'm working my way through.
I'm impressed. You're actually reading my dissertation.
Of course, of course. But you looked at the problem of guilt, what is guilt, from a bunch of different worldviews, kind of in the first section of this. And guilt and shame are such a prominent thing in our culture, something that people are not necessarily dealing well with, which is leading to mental health issues, which we'll discuss in a little bit. But maybe you can just kind of give us a little bit of an overview of this idea of the problem of guilt and kind of what led you down the path to be able to do a dissertation on this subject.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the problem of guilt is that it's a universal problem.
Yes.
Cross-culturally, throughout time, people have recognized this concept of guilt. Mm-hmm. And I would kind of just define guilt as, you know, the breaking of a perceived moral law.
Okay.
Okay? And I put perceived because, I mean, you know, that might be a true moral law or it might not be,
okay,
depending upon one's worldview, okay? And so sometimes people break a perceived moral law and they end up with pseudo-guilt or false guilt. Mm. Some people break a true moral law and they're actually guilty, and we can get into some of this. But the problem of guilt is that it's systemic, it's ubiquitous, it's worldwide, and it has impacted people in a horrific kind of a way.
Yeah.
I mean, it has kept people awake at night. It has caused people to be paranoid. It has caused people to anesthetize themselves with drugs, with alcohol, because of these guilt feelings that they're carrying around. I mean, there is guilt can attach itself to you like a damp set of clothes. Mm-hmm. And it can make one's life miserable and messed up. And a lot of times people don't know what to do with their guilt.
Yeah.
So they end up, you know, drowning themselves in addictions and other things to try to quiet the voice of guilt. And so there's lots of questions that emerge out of this problem.
Yeah.
And we'll get into some of that.
Yeah. So maybe you could start by just outlining, you mentioned them briefly. What are the different types of guilt that you found during your research?
Well, I mean, there are, for example, there's survivor guilt.
Okay.
So what is survivor guilt? Survivor guilt would be you go to war and you come back as a soldier, yet many of the people that you loved and fought with died and they didn't come back.
Yeah.
So you have a sense of survivor guilt. Mm. There could be a collective guilt. We see this going on today with critical race theory, right? Like all white people are guilty,
okay,
of racism. You're collectively guilty. So there could be like, what is a collective guilt? Now, I'm just saying that that's an example of it. That whether that's true or not is another discussion.
Yeah, head back and listen to our critical race theory episode.
Yeah, exactly. I could see some people going, well, so I anticipate that and say, yeah, this isn't the place. But the kind of guilt that I deal with in my work is moral guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Moral guilt, the kind of guilt that attaches itself to us after we violate some perceived moral law. And when it does attach itself to us, that can really do a number on us. Now, so there's different types of guilt, but then there's like distinguishing guilt, like pseudo guilt versus actual guilt.
Okay.
So, pseudo-guilt will be another type of guilt, but it's not real.
Mm.
There's people who feel perpetually guilty for something that they never did wrong.
Yeah.
Like how many moms do you know,
oh, yeah,
that feel guilty because maybe their kids made some decisions and they feel like, well, had I just done it this way or had I just did this? And at the end of the day, so many moms in particular, carry, yeah, around what I would say is a pseudo guilt. It's almost like a condemnation. But then you want to distinguish between pseudo guilt and actual guilt.
Right.
So like actual guilt would be, you know, like I took somebody's life.
Yeah.
Right? So like the mom who lets her child go off to college and the child got to drive to college.
Yeah.
And the child dies on the way to college in a car. And now the mom feels guilty because, oh, I shouldn't have let my daughter take the car.
Yeah.
Now my daughter's dead. Well, she's not guilty. She might feel guilty, but she's not actually guilty. She'd actually be guilty if she attached a bomb to the car and it blew up while her daughter was driving. That would be actual guilt.
Okay.
Okay. So now we're talking about like the different types of guilt, but then we're talking about how to distinguish between actual guilt and, you know, pseudo guilt. But then once you get to actual guilt, you even want to make another distinction between like guilt feelings and a guilt violation. Because it's possible that you are guilty, you blew the car up, but you don't feel guilty. But it's also possible to feel guilty for something, like my child got in a car accident, but you're not guilty.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a bomb there.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot that goes on, and all this plays an incredible role on our psyche and how we go about putting our life back together.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, you opened up so many different, you know. So I think one of the other important distinctions that we need to talk about, just particularly with what you were mentioning there at the end, is the difference between guilt and shame, because often those two are confused. Sometimes we might feel shame when we did something wrong, when we shouldn't. And sometimes we're guilty and we don't feel shame. So what's the difference between guilt and shame? And what do we do with some of those shame feelings?
Well, I think part of becoming emotionally mature is learning to distinguish our emotional life. Our emotional life is a sea of just emotions that are turbulent at times, placid at other times. But we have to learn to recognize and distinguish the nature of our emotional life. Shame versus guilt. Guilt is I have done wrong. Shame is I am bad, right? Guilt is I've done something bad. Shame says I'm bad because I've done that.
Oh, okay.
Shame really tackles our identity. And that's why it's so much worse, like from the standpoint of when we're working with people, hey, we can recognize that somebody has done wrong and we can offer forgiveness. But if somebody's done wrong and you shame them, you really can do a number on a person's psyche because you're getting at their identity. And I think that what's beautiful about the cross, for example, is God's not shaming us. He says we're guilty, but he provides a way to deal with our guilt. And also, he recognizes how powerful shame is in our life and wants to help us out of shame. So you have some cultures that are primarily shame cultures,
right,
and other cultures that are more guilt cultures. So you think about like the Olympics, when you see the Chinese go to the Olympics. I mean, this is a shame culture.
Yeah.
You are bad if you don't win.
Yeah.
Right? That's a big difference compared to a guilt culture, which would say, you know, you've done something wrong, but you're not necessarily bad because you've done something wrong.
Right. And I think that's a really helpful distinction. And one of the things that I do think that we need to draw out as Christians, because somewhere along the line, maybe you know the answer to this, it seems like those two things have gotten conflated, particularly in the church. So I don't know if it's the common mantra of like, hate the sin, love the sinner, that you know, this has been going on. But I think it's something that I would love to get your insight on here, because there are some things where we have done wrong. We are sinners, you know, Romans 3. But some of us feel that we have guilt because of our sin, right? But then other people feel shame. And so what role has the church play, or what role can the church play in distinguishing those two things and saying, yes, you have messed up, right? Yes, you have sinned, whatever the situation is, but you don't feel shame. And why do you feel like those two things often get conflated in the church?
I think probably the bigger thing is because people don't properly distinguish between shame and guilt, you'll get some people, because they don't want people to feel shamed.
Yeah.
And as a result, they seek to eliminate the guilt. Oh. So you take the LGBTQ, for example. We in the church shouldn't want to shame the LGBT community.
Right.
But the solution shouldn't be to say that you're not guilty if you're acting outside of God's biblical plan of sexuality.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think in our attempt to not shame people, what we end up doing, because we don't have a proper, clear definition to distinguish between guilt and shame, is, well, we end up basically saying, oh, and you're not even guilty.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that becomes a real problem. Now, you get some people who are happy to tell you that you're guilty and you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Right.
Right? Now, I do think that there's an element, like, for example, there is a proper place for shame.
Okay.
But I think it needs to leave quickly.
Yeah.
Like, if I had an affair on my wife, I'm guilty. But there is an element where I should be ashamed of myself for that. Like, that was a horrible thing.
Yeah.
But you can't live in that shame because it'll just tear you up to the core. And so you've got to move toward a solution.
Yeah. Well, and okay, so let's talk about solutions here. There is kind of the Christian solution, and there's kind of like the secular, the world solution. So let's start with the world solution. What's the world solution to guilt?
It's not a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking at Nietzsche or Freud, or if you're looking at Darwin, or you're looking at modern-day neuroscience, you will end up with different ideas to the solution. But I think it typically is going to look like, hey, let's lower the moral standard. So you're feeling guilty because you violated some perceived moral standard. So let's just reduce that standard down. You're feeling guilty because you've been having sex outside of marriage. Well, what do you do with your guilt? Well, just say that there's sex outside of marriage is okay.
Yeah.
Now you're no longer guilty.
Right.
Well, don't you wish it was that easy? Okay. It's not that easy. You're feeling guilty because you are, you know, you robbed a bank.
Yep.
And you're keeping that secret. Well, what do you do with your guilt? Well, just realize that stealing's not wrong. You did it because you needed money for your family. So in other words, you try to justify your guilt by talking yourself into the fact that the action that caused the guilt to begin with was actually okay.
Yeah.
Whereas on Christianity, we need to recognize our guilt. Like, we can't lower the standard.
Yeah.
But neither can we attain the standard, because all fall short, as you just mentioned in Romans 3. So what we do then is we realize that Christ dies for all of the things that have caused us guilty, and all of our guilt is placed upon him on the cross. And when we believe in Jesus, the moral gap that all of us have failed to fill through our moral performance and the immorality that we've all lived that has caused us guilt, when we believe in Jesus, his righteousness is applied to us. So Christianity then offers a solution that actually deals with the real guilt and doesn't say that, oh, I wasn't really guilty, or doesn't try to lower the moral bar. It keeps the moral standard right where it is, provides a savior who meets that standard, and then allows us to be forgiven on his account.
Excellent, excellent. Well, there is so much more that we could go into
when it comes
to guilt. We literally just scratched the surface at the end of this episode here. But I do want to mention, if you are checking us out on the radio, to head on over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/oneminuteapologist. You can like this video, subscribe to our channel, click the little notification bell there, and that will help keep you informed as new resources come available. As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we would invite you to partner with us financially. You can do that at oneminuteapologist.com and then click on donate in the upper right hand corner. And with that, we will see you on the next episode of the Unapologetic Show. You've been listening to Unapologetic with Dr. Bobby Conway, the 1 Minute Apologist. I am your host, Tim Hall. Be sure to listen to Bobby on Pastor's Perspective Monday through Thursday, as well as like, share, and subscribe to the 1 Minute Apologist YouTube channel, where we have over 1,000 videos. We would also like to remind you that this is a listener-supported program. We would greatly appreciate your support in any amount so we could continue to provide this ministry. If you would like to be a part of our team in any capacity, please visit our website at oneminuteapologist.com. And while you're there, check out all of Bobby's books, courses, and even invite him to speak at your church or event. Thank you for listening to Unapologetic, where we defend truth without compromise. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.